glad he knows your name this morning. Amen.
He counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name.
want you to sing the second verse and the chorus just to this song. And I want you to understand, whoever you are, wherever you are, He knows your name. I said He knows your name. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, yes, He does.
Some time will stop by and ask me, where have I been? What's on my mind? They wonder why I'm not drinking, still painting this old town red. I tell them I'm serving Jesus now, and the old man is dead. And the man you see before you may look a lot the same. I may wear the same clothes and have the same old name, but you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man, 'cause the old man is dead. To live such a wicked life, I had no hope inside. I was lost in darkness, searching for the light. Then one night in a little church, after hearing what the preacher said, I gave my life to Jesus, and the old man was dead. And the man you see before you may look a lot the same. I may wear the same clothes and have the same old name, but you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man, 'cause the old man is dead. You're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man, 'cause the old man is dead.
Sometimes introducing yourself can be the hardest part of meeting someone new. Out of the fear of rejection or being exposed, it keeps us reclusive and hidden. But I no longer live in fear. So let me do it like this. Hey everyone, my name is Kenny, and I'm a firm and faithful believer in Jesus Christ who struggles with an addictive personality. My most current addiction being tobacco, and I also struggle with anger. I wanted to take a little time and tell some of my story and get it out there, so just maybe God can use it to help change the heart of it, at least to help change the heart of at least just one, to maybe be the hope shot for the one who is considering change, to be the mentoring piece for those who have made the choice to change. I just want to be used by God, telling my story, revealing his power through prayer and his word coming alive in my life. Growing up for me wasn't always roses, as I am going to tell of some of the negative and the sin that was in my life. I do this not to glorify the enemy, but to give glory to God and to testify of his grace, his mercy, his love for humankind, his love for me. Though growing up in a struggle of an addictive broken home, I do have some highlighted moments in my life, some real God moments, some divine appointments. You see, though I lived through a lot of the following, I want you to focus more on how God was carrying me through the hard times, how he kept me protected, how even though I was so disobedient, he still calls my name. My earliest childhood memory is that of a dark, humid summer night when I was about 4 years old. Because my parents struggled with an addiction, we moved around a lot, mainly because we got evicted because my parents didn't pay the bills. At this particular time in life, we were staying in a motel that we knew as the Roach Motel. We went through a normal day of playing around on the hot blacktop parking lot. It was my mom's birthday, so we celebrated it just a little. I remember she left with some friends, and my dad ordered Domino's pizza. We watched shows on the black and white, like Andy Griffith and Bonanza and Lassie. I last remember watching a movie with my dad as I drifted off to sleep. The next memories of the night aren't pleasant. With sparing the details, I witnessed my father begin to rape my mother as she returned home at a night from the bar. Then I stopped him from running into the traffic nude to commit suicide. He left, and I laid there the rest of the night, covering my mother, trying to comfort her and protect her the best way that a four-year-old could. My dad left for a while, but like always, he returned, and so did the fear. I slept many, many nights fully dressed, just in case this was the night that I'd have to rescue my mom again. Although I was like this, I would never allow anyone to call the police. I didn't like the cops. All my experiences with them weren't good, not because of the police, but I realize now that it was because of my parents' lifestyle. I saw so much violence, sexual abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, but I do believe that my parents loved me. They just didn't know God's love, so they couldn't love me right. But because God loved me so much, he sent people into my life that knew his love and that knew how to love me. So here's a highlight, a God moment. Man, these people took me in. They took me to church. They took me to vacation Bible school. They bought me things. They took me places. Man, he used to take me to work with him. He used to teach me how to eat sunflower seeds. He used to teach me God's word and work ethic. Man, he was awesome. She used to just love me no matter what, hold me and snuggle with me, comfort me, fan my little butt when I farted in a pew, falling asleep in front of him. Man, they were awesome. And I had two new big sisters that loved me. Man, I felt good and loved. I felt God. Then the dreaded day, my parents took me back. The next big memory isn't the greatest either, but God's going to use this one too, amen? For an entire summer that seemed to never end, I was sexually abused by a male babysitter, a friend of the family. Now all seemed normal with this guy. He used to take us to the park, the movies, buy us ice cream, all kinds of stuff, just a nice friend of the family, so it seemed. When the lights were out and the alcohol was consumed, I knew what was about to happen. I would be sexually abused for hours, but pretending to sleep so that he would just focus on me and not my siblings. Man, the summer seemed like it would never end, but it did, the night he tried to touch an older family member who was big enough to fight back. The sins were exposed, and God saved me from the awful choices of man. It wasn't God's will that I be abused. That was the choices of man in my life. See, we need to quit blaming our choices on God's will and his plan for our lives. I just had to say that. Once again, God came to the rescue. I was back in the home where I felt so loved. I spent a long time with my God family this time. But they were making a move, and I had to make a choice. They left me back with my parents, and I had no way to VBS this year. So I remember riding my bike to VBS, 2 miles one way. But VBS, that was my God moment. That was my highlight again. Though VBS just wasn't enough to fill that void I now felt. So at a very early age, I started to smoke cigarettes, which soon progressed to alcohol and marijuana. By the time I was 8 years old, I just spent many years in addiction, using things to fill a void that only Jesus could fill in my heart. So like most, starting off with cigarettes only progressed to heavier things, Because at some point, what I was doing before just wasn't enough anymore. I needed more, something different. Curiosity took a hold. Curiosity of different drugs came when I opened the door to that first time I took in a mind and mood-altering substance. I just wanted to feel good to escape the painful world I lived in. But as I tried to escape, I only caused more hurt and more pain and more guilt and more shame. I searched and I tried all these things. I just needed a shot of Jesus, a dose of mercy, a hit of grace. I just needed the love of God to come alive in my soul, amen. At about 10 years old, we were living out in Kansas City, hiding from my dad. Drugs and alcohol became normal to me. I was pretty much the man of the house. The only money coming in the house was welfare and the little my mom made running dope to the prison. So when our house was burglarized, I hit to the streets, making money. I begged for spare change. I robbed the wishing fountains in the plaza. I did whatever it took to take care of my family. Maybe that's why my mom decided at this time that I could begin to make choices for myself. So I was allowed to do whatever I wanted to do. No one would stop me anyway. This was my attitude. Lots of crazy things happened while I lived in Kansas City, but I won't get into the particulars. Just know God was protecting me every day from the drug addicts, the alcoholics, the sex abusers, the AIDS patients, and the murderers. He was molding me even then, using the bad choices of man to make the man of God I am today. After a while out in Kansas City, I decided to return to Illinois to visit my dad. I stayed with him partying all summer, robbing houses and stores to support my habits. I stayed with my dad until late one night my mom showed up with a new man, wanting to know if I wanted to go to Minnesota with him. It sounded fun, so I looked at my dad, said bye, packed a bag, and hit the road. We moved to Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, where I immediately took to the streets. I started selling drugs and stealing cars. I joined a gang. For my 13th birthday, they gave me my first pistol and a pack of crack. I ran drugs for the gang until I delivered a bogus pack. And since I seen several murders, I was scared to even go home out of fear that they would hurt my family. So I slept under bridges and in parks or at friends' homes until I was finally picked up by the police and sent off to juvenile hall. By now, I was a hardened street thug with one thing on my mind, power. I fought, I sold drugs, I used weapons. I wanted that tough guy image. I wanted people to fear me. It happened. My mother began to fear me. She gave me up altogether to the state. And I went from foster home until I landed in this one where I really felt loved. Even though I didn't go to church or serve God, this was a highlight in my life because I was so happy here. I was finally doing so well, the state sent me back to my mom. It was good for a while, but I just missed my place I called home. I wanted to go back. So on Christmas, I stole my uncle's truck and gun and went back to the streets. I was wanted nationwide, considered armed and dangerous for the things I had already done. I had fled on foot after a shootout with the authorities. I hiked for 5 miles across the snow-drifted covered fields of Minnesota until I finally had to give up because I was frostbit too bad. That was God protecting me. I went to prison and then was released on my 15th birthday with the orders to report to my father in Illinois immediately, to check in with probation within 48 hours. I did all this and then got settled in. My uncle left his home the next day, and I found a stash of weed. I started using drugs and drinking again. I was here in Illinois for about a month when my uncle couldn't keep me no more while we were waiting on my dad to get out of prison. I was sentenced to IYC for possession of pipe bombs and theft of drugs. In prison again, I started gangbanging hard. I was a mean dude and demanded respect, but I also gave it. It's during this prison sentence that God revealed himself to me and that he was real, but I didn't care. I broke out and I went on a run for about 3 weeks. I was caught and took back and given more time. The second part of my sentence I did really well. I started seeking God and knowledge instead of the streets and the drugs. Then came my release date. I was trashed before it turned afternoon. I stayed this way mostly every day, high on something. I graduated to harder drugs and started to traffic drugs all across the country. Man, I thought I was it. I thought I was the main thing. I had money and cars and clothes and houses and women. Tons of friends, so I thought. I was searching the world for something to make me feel complete, but what I didn't know was I'd never be complete without Jesus in my heart. Sitting in a hotel room in Rochester, Minnesota, I'm drinking and drugging, waiting for a person to show up. And to his surprise, I'm going to kill him. It was a money thing. This guy was even my friend, but I was driven by money, greed, and lust. Man, God was protecting this kid. I later found out that he never came that day because something kept telling him if he came to see me that he would never return home. That was God protecting him. In the midst of contemplating homicide, I switched to suicide. I was starting to become intoxicated and filled with guilt and shame. As the gun fired, God spoke Ephesians 4:1 into my heart. I jumped in the shower because I felt so dirty, and I cried out to God. And when I was finished, I walked into the front doors of Goodhue County Jail, turning myself in. Everyone was amazed. I went my entire prison sentence praising God, spreading his word, getting ridiculed every day. Man, I was on fire. God was using me in the prisons. He took all my junk, and he turned it into good. All was going great, and then life showed up again. I received a phone call informing me that my dad had committed suicide and that my mother was dying. Man, it hurt so bad. But I was strong in my faith at this time, so I began to immediately thank God for my current situation. I was told my mother had cancer and was not going to make it, but I serve a healing God. So me and several brothers yoked up in a fast for healing for my mom. Doctors were amazed, not a trace of cancer anywhere. God used that to reveal himself to me and the power of his prayer. 7 months later, the day before Mother's Day, he called my mom home to be with him. I was able to pray with my mom. On some would say her deathbed, but for her, that was her lifebed. I was released from prison, unprepared and without a plan. It wasn't long before I was drinking and drugging again. It was brought to a halt by God when I hit a wall head on at 60 miles per hour. I was taken back to prison for a parole violation and a DUI. I didn't do the church thing anymore. What was the use? I was just going to fail anyway. I did continue to go to school so I could get a little bit of an education and consume my time. After a while, God began to weigh on my heart again, so I started to attend church. I became a leader in our church in the prison. I was released again, and this time got connected with the church. Well, after being shunned by several people in the church, I decided I didn't want that anymore. Because I was empty again, I went back to the drugs and the alcohol. Then I met my wife. Me and this girl went on our first date, and it was fishing. I knew she was a keeper. Couldn't throw her back. God blessed us with our first daughter, but I was a drunk. One day as I awoke, God spoke to me, and he said, "You're done." And I was that day. I quit drinking and smoking weed. God delivered me from that. I became a youth leader in the church. I was in the choir. I was in men's ministry. You can bet of it. If it was going on, I was there. Every area of my life was good besides my marriage. It just wasn't working. So on the final time that Jenny left me, I returned to my old lifestyle. But this time, even worse. Heroin became my drug of choice for a little while until that changed to speedballing, which that's mixing heroin and speed and injecting it. I was one of the top suppliers in the area. Because of the money I now had, I went and got a new house with a pole barn to hold my tools for my construction company. This was enticing enough for Virginia to come back, but now it was different. I convinced her into getting high on coke with me. I did this to keep her focus off the heroin I did. To skip the details, man. Everything come crashing down. Jenya divorced me. I lost my suppliers. I lost my house. I lost my businesses. I lost my wife. I lost my kids. I lost my friends, so-called. I lost my family. Man, I lost everything. God was still there, though. I came to a point in my life where I couldn't go on. I wanted to really die. My baby sister just died from cardiac arrest from her drug use. I blamed myself. I was all alone.
Then came that Facebook message that showered a little glimpse of hope in my life. Jinya said if I faced my past and that if I cleaned up, that her and the girls would come back. So I didn't waste a second. Now back in the 6x9 cell, guilt and shame poured in. The hurt, the pain, it was too much. But I couldn't get high to cover it up. I could only call out to God. And I got a letter from Jinya that day. And it said, Kenny, God has been using prison and captivity to restore and heal his people since the beginning of time. The restoration and the healing in my life began that day. I am now a certified associate addictions professional through the state of Illinois. I am active in my church and a proud member of the Celebrate Recovery family. Celebrate Recovery has been a tremendous blessing to me and my family. CHAR has restored hope and confidence in my children. I remember one night, I was struggling bad. So bad that I wasn't even going to go to CR. That night, my youngest daughter began to sob uncontrollably and would not stop until I went to CR. In her little mind, if I'm going to CR, then I'm doing good. If not, then I'm going to be my old self again. And if I'm him again, then I'm going to leave her again. But she is confident in God and the anointing that he has on Celebrate Recovery, knowing that if I'm a part of this, then all will be okay. I thank you, God, today for all that is in my life, for everything, the good, the bad, the pretty, and the ugly. I thank you, Lord, for using me, for using my junk when I'm not worthy to be used. Thank you, Jesus.
And I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains and wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed.